Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're of course going to be talking about Tesla stock. We have new comments from Elon Musk on that subject. We do also have new China-insured vehicle numbers for the week. Those did decline week over week, so we'll talk about that. Spend most of our time on those two items, and then just a couple other quick things as well. Looking at the stock, what started off as an underperformance continued to get worse and worse throughout the day. Tesla closing down 8% on the day to $137.80, while the NASDAQ was flat on the day. And the trend of high volume continues. This was the second highest volume day for Tesla in the last year, second to last Tuesday, which was in the midst of Elon's sales last week. So we've got really high volume. We've got a significant underperformance that carries the type of markings that we have seen on Elon selling before now. There's a lot of discussion on whether or not Elon is in a blackout period right now, this close into earnings. I do believe that would be the case. However, there can be exceptions to that. A pre-planned sale would be one option. I don't think that would be the case here. Most of Elon's recent selling has not been pre-planned, meaning in an official capacity with forms filed ahead of time. So I think that would be pretty unlikely, but there can be other exceptions as well, so can't entirely rule out the possibility of Elon continuing to sell over today or even the last few days. From a calendar perspective, we know Elon sold on Monday through Wednesday last week. If he would have continued that selling on Thursday, we would have needed to see a Form 4 for that yesterday. So unless that were filed late for some reason, that would rule out any selling from Thursday last week, which was interestingly the lowest volume day, and actually the last green day that we'd had for Tesla as well. On Friday, volume did pick up a little bit from Thursday. The stock did decline from Thursday's close. And then, of course, that high volume has continued into this week on Monday and today. Monday, we did see a decent outperformance, make selling from Elon look less likely on that day, but definitely not impossible. So in terms of Form 4s, if we don't see anything tonight, that would rule out selling from Friday. As I'm recording, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, today, all remain possibilities, and those will just get eliminated day by day as we move through the week. So unfortunately, not great timing with the publishing of this episode, but hopefully that makes the situation clear, and you know, we'll see what we see tonight. If the underperformance is not from Elon selling, of course, we did get China data. We'll talk about that in a second. I continue to believe that that is underrepresented in terms of the conversation about the share price decline recently. In addition to the concerns around Elon, around the selling, around Twitter's financing, I think the reports out of China since the price cuts on October 24th or so have dramatically reduced confidence in the numbers that Tesla's going to put up for 2023. Anyway, we'll continue with the China numbers in a second, but just wrapping up with comments from Elon. He did reply to an article today from CNBC, shared on Twitter by Sawyer Merritt, and it said, "News: Elon Musk is actively searching for a new CEO for Twitter, sources told David Faber. Faber said that Elon's search for a new CEO has been ongoing and began before the Twitter poll was made." So Elon replied to this with two laughing crying emojis, leaving us to wonder what exactly in there he's laughing at. Is it the report that he's looking for a CEO? Is it that it was being done before the Twitter poll was even made? Who knows, but it is probably worth reiterating again. We have talked about this before, but reiterating that Elon Musk back in mid-November did say that he does eventually expect to find somebody to run Twitter, so maybe Elon just laughing at the stir that he is causing for something that's already been happening for a while. Again, who knows, but Elon has continued a little bit down the route that we got some insight into last night when he talked about the possibility of converting policy polls to be voted on only by Twitter Blue members, wondering perhaps what the influence of certain bots may be on certain polls. So Elon today replying to a thread from Harris X, which I was a little bit sketched out by at first because obviously Harris Poll is a well-known name in the market research space. So I thought maybe these people were kind of just trying to benefit off that brand by having a similar name. But I did some research and it does look like these are the same companies. So for what it's worth, seems like their polling structure should be relatively sound. Anyway, they polled about 1,000 people, which they feel are representative of the general population. They say this has given them a 3% margin of error, and they say 53% say that Musk should stay as CEO of Twitter. Also interesting, of Twitter users, they say that they had a 5% margin of error on these numbers. 61% of that demographic said that Elon should stay on as the head of Twitter. So which do you put more weight into, the poll that occurs on Twitter itself, or the poll that has a representative population and is conducted in a little bit more scientific of a manner? I personally think it's very reasonable to question the results of the poll, and I would say that not just for this poll, but for any poll on Twitter. The problem here for me is not whether or not the results are being questioned. I agree that they should be questioned. The problem for me is that this should be pretty easily understood going into this poll. So now to raise those questions afterwards, even if that by itself is a completely reasonable thing to do, just makes it look like Elon is trying to find a way out of the results. So I talked yesterday about the desire that I think there is for stability for Twitter externally, and I think things like this just continue to add more volatility. And I think that carries over into Tesla, where people one day are maybe excited, maybe not justifiably, but a little bit excited about the possibility of Elon taking a step back from Twitter. And then the next day it looks like, well, maybe not so much. So frustration growing, Elon replying to some of that frustration today from Ross Gerber on Twitter, basically saying that it's time for a shakeup of Tesla board of directors. Elon saying, please tell us your great ideas, Ross, dot, dot, dot. Ross replied saying, my 3 points. One, Tesla needs a media and communications team. Two, Tesla needs a succession plan, as well as clarify when Elon will be back from Twitter. Three, Tesla needs to communicate about Elon's stock sales, and a standstill agreement should be made. Quick interjection on that succession plan piece. You may remember that we had talked previously about, I think, a Tesla board member in court saying that Elon had identified a possible successor or CEO position. So even though we may not be privy to that or the entire plan, doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't one, even if it is just a worst case type scenario. But anyway, Elon replied, go back and read your old Securities Analysis 101 textbook. In simple terms, as bank savings account interest rates, which are guaranteed, start to approach stock market returns, which are not guaranteed, people will increasingly move their money out of stocks into cash, thus causing stocks to drop. Yes, this is true, but Tesla has dramatically underperformed other stocks in the last 3 months. Elon is not someone who cares a whole lot about stock prices in the first place, and certainly isn't someone that cares about stock price volatility in 3 month windows. I think in his mind, the fundamentals are all that matters for a business, and that's why he had posted that net present value equation a while back. If nothing that Elon is doing affects the net present value, affects those future cash flows, then everything else is noise, and that noise gets filtered out over time for those that are patient. And Elon has been very explicit over the course of Tesla's history about not caring at all what happens to short-term traders. So from Elon's perspective, Tesla's going to earn that value back at some point and then continue to rise. I think that is Elon's honest mindset right now. Now, what I think people are having a really hard time with and are trying to communicate to Elon is that they feel like he is doing things that will negatively affect those future cash flows. That may be true, it may not be true. I think it's too early to say that with any level of certainty, but regardless of that, there is perception at play in the stock market, and perception can be amplified by momentum, which can be a pretty wicked feedback loop, especially when there are a lot of shares becoming available and added to the float with Elon selling. While this doesn't necessarily show up in a net present value calculation, I personally believe that perception plays a role in shaping the ultimate reality that ends up occurring. For evidence of that being truth, look no further than the short and distort playbook, which creates a crisis of confidence in businesses, which is a perception, and then that perception makes access to capital more difficult, and that can cause those businesses to fail when they may not have otherwise failed. Everybody's got their own views on this, but to an extent, that's kind of what happened with SolarCity. Now, due to Tesla's very strong financial position, they don't need to worry about a scenario like that. But the point is that perception can have an influence on where reality eventually ends up, and it should not be entirely discounted. So anyway, coming up out of that rabbit hole a little bit, I think that's a large part of what investors hope that Elon will be a little bit more cognizant of. I would hope for the same, but I'm not sure that that message is really fully cutting through. And I think instead, Elon is just feeling like there's a bunch of people attacking him because the stock is down in a down market. A market which Elon can point directly to having warned people about. So my fear is that rather than hearing some of that criticism, which I think could be pretty helpful for Elon, instead he just feels attacked, gets defensive, and digs in. So what's the solution there? I don't know. I hope people that are close to Elon can provide some of this feedback that is coalescing in the community right now, but doing it in a way that isn't just pointing to the stock price and saying, look at this, you did this, you gotta fix it. I think that's unlikely to be very effective. But anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about China. I think this is also having a significant impact on the stock right now. Overnight, we learned in the week of December 12th through December 18th, 10,254 vehicles from Tesla were insured in China. So that's down 20% from the week prior. And that is the lowest amount for Tesla in China since October when prices were cut. So looking at the chart, we talked last week about how that little bit of a bump gave a little bit of life still to any thesis that maybe Tesla could continue increasing those numbers for the last couple of weeks here as presumably more production capacity would be opening up for domestic or retail sales since we haven't seen much exporting happening. So some of the math with available inventory and things like that could have still worked out a little bit last week, but unfortunately, I think this week's data pretty much puts that theory to bed. I mean, we never know for sure, it's just 1 week of data, but it's definitely not looking great. You could say, hey, COVID stuff, maybe that is still impacting people's ability to take delivery. But if we bring in some context here, we also get these numbers for BYD. This includes plug-in hybrids and BEVs, so it's not a one-for-one comparison. But just to represent how logistics challenges may be influencing things, we're really not seeing any of that from BYD. They have increased their weekly insured numbers each time over the last 4 weeks. So if we flip back to Tesla, we're seeing a very different shape on that graph, and that's most likely either because there aren't cars or there's not demand. With Shanghai's production rate, there should definitely be enough cars. So I think what has been a huge red flag for the market that we've been talking about for the last month is now even bigger of a flag than ever. And even if this is partially the result of just a softer auto market in China right now, in the eyes of the market, this puts a huge question mark on demand heading into 2023, so volumes in question, and particularly margins then in question. And then market participants are going to be asking, okay, if there's demand weakness in China, how long is it until we see this in other markets? And then how far does Tesla need to cut prices to keep up with their production? This uncertainty is a huge part of why the market is letting the price to earnings ratio of Tesla fall so far right now, because there's not confidence in that continued growth. I think the market is worried about that, and that's compounded by the uncertainty with Elon. And until there's more certainty on these things, people are just getting out or staying out or hopping on the other side of the trade and taking advantage of that uncertainty. So I think Tesla's just going to have to keep working, show those results, and hopefully what we end up seeing is that the market is right now pricing in a lot of these top line risks and concerns, but not really considering all of the advantages that Tesla's working on, especially on the cost side, as we have Berlin and Texas now ramping to pretty significant levels of volume. A little bit lower demand at the price points that Tesla is currently at is not a big deal at all if Tesla can continue to drive costs down as they have done historically and maintain or grow margins as average selling prices decline and they open access to more of the market. That's the whole game plan. That's always been the game plan. The market is just not really believing in that at this moment. Tesla's going to have to show those results, show that proof to get some of that belief back, especially in a recessionary type of market. So that may take some time. Ultimately, I still believe that Tesla will get there. All right, to wrap up with the China numbers, just as we always do, putting this in context for past total quarters, we're now for Q4 up to somewhere around 107,000. So with 13 days left in the quarter after this report, Tesla needs to do about 13,000 more vehicles in China to set a quarterly record. They should have the vehicles available, and if the volume from this week can continue, they should probably hit it. But if we continue to see down 20% each week, then maybe not. Even if we do see a record quarter, of course, it does come with the price cuts, the incentives that have been added, and what seems to be more cars available in China this quarter than last. All right, last couple of quick things here. We do have a couple of analyst updates. I don't have the full notes on these, so kind of headline only, but Daywa Capital Markets has lowered their price target on Tesla to $177 from $240. Evercore ISI, they've cut their price target on Tesla to $200 per share from $300. Lastly then, yesterday, Lucid did announce that they have completed their roughly $1.5 billion at-the-market equity offering, raising $600 million through stock sales on the public market and then $915 million from the Saudi PIF. We had already talked about their intent to do this, so just announcing that completion. With that, we'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, December 21st episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.